Hello, thanks for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Bethany Moore. I'm the Deputy Director of Communications at the National Cannabis Industry Association. Today on the show, I have my colleague, Mike Lamuto. He is our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Manager. Prior to his role here at NCIA, he volunteered for 2 years in leadership of our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee. In his current role, he's tasked with building sustainable DEI at NCIA, supporting our social equity members, and implementing initiatives to foster greater DEI nationwide. Previously, Mike co-founded DAO Mastery, a business development program designed to help cannapreneurs thrive and grow generational wealth. Welcome to the show, Mike. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, thank you, Bethany. Thanks for having me on here. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, good to have you on the show today. So for our listeners who haven't met you yet, haven't gotten to know you yet, let's hear a bit more about your background and some of your experiences prior to where you got where you're at right now.
Yeah, sure. So one of the things I usually start out with is that I've been in the cannabis industry for over a couple decades now. It's pretty much been what I know. I'm from San Francisco originally, and that's really, I grew up in the industry out there. I also am, a lot of people don't necessarily know this about me, but I'm actually a trained acupuncturist and herbalist. So I bring a lot of that kind of understanding of plant medicine and natural medicine into my cannabis experience, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. I also share that with you. I have a bit of a background in herbal medicine studies, and of course, my spiritual practice includes fun stuff like crystals and astrology, but it really does tail dove with the cannabis industry when we're looking at the natural healing world as well. So acupuncture and herbalism and cannabis, I think, are natural mates when it comes to the world of wellness and healing. Would you agree?
100%. And for thousands of years before prohibition, they were dovetailed together really nicely. Chinese medicine has cannabis in the compendiums going back thousands of years, even, I believe. So absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. This could be a whole nother episode, right?
Right.
So you mentioned, it's kind of always been a part of your life in the Bay Area. There's a rich history of cannabis in that part of the country. As far as really deciding to make this part of your career path, do you have a reason or how did that really happen where it wasn't a what if? Or maybe it was I'm in the cannabis industry now.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know that I ever wasn't in the cannabis industry. I guess it's that term, right? So if we're talking about the cannabis industry, like the regulated industry, then sure. I think that, I was working with my business partner, Vernon Speller, on a natural medicine project. And we just kind of looked at each other like, hey, you know what? Like, we need to integrate or reintegrate cannabis into what we're doing with natural medicine. And that was about 10 years ago by now. And that's when I really made the decision to transition into the regulated space 100% and just really go full throttle on that. And, for me, the thing has always been about creating generational wealth, which is, wealth, people have all different definitions of it. For me, I define it as really being able to, take care of yourself, your family, your community, regardless of what circumstances may arise. And I believe that cannabis and natural wellness offer that kind of really a new paradigm in the creation of generational wealth. And so that's really why I'm just here. And that's what it is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, actually. And on the topic of generational wealth, I wish I had some of that too. So totally understand. But I think generational wealth, when we think of that, it kind of ties into the other part of your role of diversity, equity, and inclusion, of creating the kind of playing field where anybody of any background can enter maybe this industry and build a, create a business for themselves, create wealth for themselves, as opposed to the families that have, you know, legacy, like, I don't even mean legacy cannabis. I mean, just really wealthy families with lots of money, right? In a bank in Sweden somewhere. But really for the regular folks like myself or others in our industry, really be able to build that wealth, that really does tie into the diversity, equity, and inclusion side of your role, I think. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, 100%. To me, you know, DEI in the industry isn't about, you know, for lack of a better term here, you know, window dressing, right? A lot of times DEI in our country really, and especially in our industry, is, you know, it's about being able to pat each other on the back. And at the end of the day, for me, it's really about doing exactly what we're talking about here, is creating these processes, these systems, these structures to create generational wealth in the industry. And, you know, often what this really means in our industry is the folks that are getting, you know, I don't know whether you want to say left out or there's barriers or there's blockades, are folks that are, you know, diverse in many different ways. And so, you know, bringing the diversity lens and the equity lens is really a really important part of that DEI. We kind of just use this phrase DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, and we don't really talk about the different components. But really that equity component in the middle there, that's equity is about creating, you know, wealth, creating something that you can hold on to and pass on to generations and not have to worry about it being taken away, so to speak. And so, yeah, DEI in this role and this industry to me is about creating pathways for generational wealth, not just a little bit extra cash or a payout because you maybe qualify for social equity and somebody pays you for that license and so on and so forth, but something that you can really carry on and pass on for generations.
Yeah, that's great. And that's so important as well. So more about your role here at NCIA as our DEI manager. You're overseeing our social equity scholarship program and our DEI sponsorship program. And that includes a lot of fun activities like workshops, now that we have trade shows, back in-person events. Woo! Let's talk more about what your role is here at NCIA and the various components that you're working on.
Yeah, I appreciate the question. And like a lot of folks at NCIA, you know, I wear a lot of hats. It's one role really is about four or five. And, you know, with the DEI side of things, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different things we have to kind of juggle. So yeah, as you mentioned, you know, we do, I run the social equity scholarship program where we do, we bring in, social equity members, in the first year, of membership, they get a complimentary membership and also a lot of extra benefits. And so one of the things we've been working on over the last, it's really been a 3-year process, but I started officially at the organization last year on 420. And what we really focus on is how do we make sure that the folks that we're providing these complimentary memberships to are able to actually get a lot of value out of those memberships. And it's not just, again, like some window dressing. So that includes things like the workshops at the conferences. It includes things like I run a weekly call for the social equity applicants to plug into. And some folks plug in every single week. We call it the power hour now because there's a lot of really great nuggets and gems and value that people get from being able to be in that call, working with each other, collaborating with each other. We bring a lot of so-called subject matter experts in to discuss, basically do ask me anything calls, things of that nature. So that's definitely part of it. Another part of it is really like looking to ensure DEI at the organization. And that includes making sure our panels, our committees, our board has the proper diversity within them and is inclusive in nature. And there's a lot of other pieces of collaborating with other organizations that are doing similar work, finding partners to join the program, so on and so forth. So I'll cut it off there.
No, that's great. I'm sure we work with a couple of our allied associations as well. I know we've had a long relationship with the MCBA, the Minority Cannabis Business Association as well. So, I mean, it's a lot of moving parts. Again, the conferences, I think, having in-person events is a huge component, but sounds like the phone calls, the weekly phone calls are really a helpful touch point for those in the program as well. All right, let's take our first commercial break, and then we'll come back and chat more with Mike Lomuto about diversity, equity, and inclusion in the cannabis industry and here at NCIA. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. I'm your host, Bethany Moore, and I'm chatting with Mike Lomuto, who's NCIA's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Manager. So let's talk more about your work here at NCIA. I know we touched on it in the first segment, but you're working with DEI scholarship recipients and finding DEI program sponsors to support all that programming. So at this point, we've offered over 200 membership scholarships to equity license holders or equity license applicants across the country. So I'd really like to talk a bit more about those individuals and their companies, which you and I have been featuring recently in Equity Member Spotlight blogs on our website as well. And this year we're doing even two per month so that we can showcase even more of these folks. Yeah, let's talk more about those people.
Yeah, so what I'll say is, first off, thank you, Bethany, for all your support in making that happen. When we started doing that last year, we didn't know how it would go. And the benefit to the members has been really extraordinary. I've gotten just a lot of great feedback from everybody that's been featured in there. And so thank you also very much for stepping up this year and saying, okay, let's do two a month. So what I'll say is, you know, our members really range the gamut. You know, there are some members, and you'll see this in the spotlights, who are just getting started in the industry, really. And they've been at it for maybe, you know, and when I say just getting started, I mean, you know, in this industry, especially when you are working on the social equity side of things, that can be 1 to 3 years because it can take so long to get licensed. So there's a lot of our members that are still in that process. They've applied, they're, you know, working on their business plans. They have their business plans. They got their brand that they're pushing out there. Maybe they're doing CBD right now. I think there's a couple members that we spotlighted recently that are running with CBD products while they're still trying to figure out how to get that actual license. Because when you're, you know, a little bit less resourced, it can be challenging to get that license. Even if you are pretty well resourced, it can be challenging to get a license. But especially when you're a little less resourced, it can be really challenging. And when I say less resourced, I'm talking really specifically here financially, because a lot of these social equity applicants and members, they're actually very resourceful. And that's, I think, part of where the frustration comes in, right? And, you know, we have a member, Anthony Jenkins, comes to mind, who spent, I think, 7 years to get his license. Another very resourceful individual who went through, you know, one navigation after another, one pivot after another, and, you know, is now, he now has a product that's out there on shelves. And, you know, so, you know, he's in San Francisco. San Francisco is a little further along, but basically we have members that go from that range. You know, Tucky from Blunts & Moore has a dispensary in Oakland. And then there's members that are in Illinois that are still waiting on the whole lottery process to basically come through, or members in Detroit that are, you know, just still kind of navigating that whole situation. And the lawsuits that came in with, or I don't know if they're lawsuits or injunctions, or whatever you want to call it. That's not my expertise. But yeah, you know, we have members all over the country. You know, at Denver, we have a few members in Denver that are really making some waves in Denver. You know, Michael Diaz Rivera, we spotlighted recently. And he's been really working to organize a lot of the social equity operators and applicants in that area. Yeah, I mean, we have, as you mentioned, there's about 200 plus, there's 250 people that we have, companies that we've onboarded. And, you know, we have, a lot of them are pretty active in the community that we've been building. So it's hard for me to just say, oh yeah, like, you know, let's talk about this one or that one, because, you know, there's just so many great individuals. But if you have any specific questions for me on that, I would definitely love to go further, you know?
Yeah. Awesome. It's great to see the faces and names of these individuals and their companies and hear a bit about their journey to get to where they're at as well. And I do see a recurring theme that access to capital is one of the biggest challenges for these equity applicants and license holders. So, and I also mentioned earlier that we brought back our in-person trade shows. So this means that at both our Midwest Cannabis Business Conference that we held in Detroit last September, and then the Cannabis Business Summit and Expo in San Francisco, we squeezed that one into December last year. Another thing that happened was we hosted day-long social equity workshops. So let's talk about those workshops and what the participants are experiencing during them.
Yeah, so both workshops were really successful, in my opinion. We had a lot of great feedback from everybody that attended, and that's how I go based on, you know, whether it was successful or not, right? They were actually very different in nature because the markets are very different in nature, and we also had different planning involved and so on and so forth. The Detroit workshop was we brought in some of our top supporters, March Networks, the People's Ecosystem, Cleveland School of Cannabis. Each of them has a founder or representative, Christine De La Rosa, Kevin Green, Chris Jensen, that has been very involved in our program. And so they actually led what we called expert roundtables, where the attendees were able to ask them pretty much any question, and they ranged the gamut from we had a table that was focused on fundraising. We had a table that was focused on what do you do while you're waiting, right, for your license? How do you stay in the industry? How do you build your brand anyway, you know? Really ran the game. We had another roundtable with Mr. McCauley talking about kind of how to leverage real estate, even when you don't necessarily have a lot of resources to begin with. How do you leverage real estate in as a social equity applicant? And then we also had Khadija Adams, who runs our Cannabis Minority Report podcast, gave an amazing motivational talk that just, really, I heard a lot of great feedback, shifted a lot of people's perspectives. We had some of the Detroit Office of Cannabis.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Folks came in and didn't ask me anything panel. So Detroit was really a lot more structured in that way. In San Francisco, we had a full day where we really used the space and the time to talk about and dive deep into the mindset of the cannapreneur and what it takes, especially the social equity cannapreneur. And we also used a lot of that time and space to have a lot of conversation amongst each other, a lot of conversations that maybe we don't always get to have because we don't always have the time or the space or the bandwidth to do it, where we're all, not all, but, where there's that many folks in the same room. And then we also did bring in some folks like Mark Slaw and Christine De La Rosa came in and did talk, do some more conversation from the perspective of how can NCIA help more with what we're doing? How can we be more impactful for what is needed in the community? So that was that workshop. And the other thing I'll mention also is that we did one thing that was really awesome at CBS at the conference was the Bloom Experience, which was a brand pavilion where operators were able to, display their brands, display their products out on the floor in San Francisco. And we worked with the People's Ecosystem and the organization to really make sure that it was a great experience for our social equity members who really killed it. I mean, they really showed up and did an amazing job of displaying their brands and their companies, and it was just a great experience. And so one of the things we also did in the workshop was really set the stage for the folks that were doing that to be able to go in and, really conduct business on the floor in a great manner. So, it was just a great experience. And I'm really looking forward to really expanding the Bloom Experience in San Francisco this July. So I know that was a huge value add for our members.
Yeah, the bloom experience that is that new part of our trade shows. It's fortunate that the city of San Francisco and the Moscone Convention Center we're at the point where we can have real cannabis product on the show floor. We can't smoke it, we can't consume it, and we can't sell it, but business connections can be made. You can, you know, look at the packaging, you can smell the product, you can take a look at it. So I think that was a really great opportunity, not only for those who have those products and, you know, maybe don't get an opportunity to showcase their wares outside of a dispensary, but also for participants to have something new and exciting to do. So I am definitely looking forward to doing the Bloom Brands Experience section of our expo floor again in July at our 8th annual Cannabis Business Summit and Expo. And I'm sure we're planning another social equity workshop of some kind. Is that right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So let's take our second commercial break here and then we'll come back and we'll wrap up the show and talk a bit more about our DEI sponsors. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice will return once we give a voice to our sponsors.
All right, we're back on NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice on Cannabis Radio. I'm chatting with my colleague, Mike Lomuto, who's our Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Manager. And before the commercial break, you did mention Khadija Adams, and I just want to prop her up a little bit. She also has been involved in our Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Committee for years, and she took on the hosting of our NCIA's second podcast. So this is our primary podcast that we've been running for over 5 years, but we launched the Cannabis Minority Report in the last couple of years, and Khadija has taken on hosting that show for us as well. And she just does a fantastic job. And it's yet another opportunity to speak with Black and Brown voices in the cannabis industry and Hispanic voices and Native American voices and Asian voices. So she really is putting a focus on the diversity in our industry as well. So I think it's a great value to the industry to be able to hear from those voices. And she also streams live on Facebook, I think on Mondays or Tuesdays from NCIA's Facebook page. So you get to see the faces with the names as well, with the voices. So I really enjoy that we're able to offer that as well for listeners and as well as for those in the industry to really, really have an opportunity to share that as well. So I also want to talk about the sponsorship program because, you know, all this programming needs to be supported as well. So we have been fortunate to have a few sponsors, Forefront Ventures, the People's Ecosystem you mentioned earlier, and Kronos Group, Nice Guys Delivery. Some great companies have stepped up to become DEI sponsors as well. And our Evergreen membership actually contributes toward that as well. So yeah, from your perspective, Mike, DEI sponsorship, what does that look like as we're going into 2022? And why should companies reach out to you about becoming a sponsor?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that question. And, you know, it's actually a multi-pronged question here, right? So on the one side, of course, from my own personal, side of things, I'm like, look, like I'm a one person department. I have a lot of great support from a lot of my awesome colleagues at NCIA, but you know, the DEI initiatives that we have are many and really robust. And so the more support that we can have, the more resources that we can have access to, it really helps us do a lot, right? I think we've built a great program that is we know is delivering a lot of impact because we hear directly from our members that say, yes, like this is helping us in this way specifically. It's opening up doors for us that we didn't have open before. It's allowing us to connect and network with folks that we maybe wouldn't have seen or known before. And, you know, there's just, you know, the education, a lot of different pieces. And so we know it's making a great impact.
Right.
But in order to do that, of course, like anything else, it takes resources. So, you know, I appreciate all the sponsors that stepped up at the beginning. You know, most of them were honestly before my time. You know, what we've done over the last several months is really, to be quite honest, we've neglected sponsorship campaigning. What I want to say is we've really been really intentional with making sure that we build the program in a way that does not become another one of these window dressing, virtue signaling types of things. And as a result, we've really put that energy into building the program rather than funding the program. And so now we're at a point where, you know, look, rubber's hitting the road. We need to figure this out. And, you know, the People's Ecosystem system stepped up, March Network stepped up, both of them recently, you know, in different ways. People's Ecosystem went full on and said, hey, we want to become an every member, we want to sponsor this program. You know, but we need more support, to be quite frank, if we're really going to keep doing this the right way and building it the right way, that and be able to reach more people that we know we can reach. So, you know, what we've done is really created, you know, I come from a business development perspective, right? I'm an entrepreneur myself. And so I understand that sponsorship, you know, can't just be about heartstrings and, hey, I believe in something, although that's awesome. And sometimes it lines up and it works out. We also need to make sure that it works in a way for the businesses to be able to, you know, like see business value out of it, so to speak. And because of that, that's why we've been really kind of protected and guarded with how we're doing this, because we don't want, we didn't want to create a sponsorship program where people come in and just, you know, it's just about the business value and it isn't about being aligned in the vision and the values. So it's really about the intersectionality of the vision, the values, and, you know, the value to the business. So anyway, that's my long-winded way of saying, we've created a lot of different customized ways that we can do sponsorships and partnerships. And my main thing is reach out, let's have a conversation, let's see how we can make this fit. If we're not the right fit, then we're not the right fit. But if we are, we know that we can really build a great industry together and see a lot more diversity, equity, inclusion in it, and, you know, utilize the amazing platforms that we've built here at NCIA over the last 11 years now.
Mm-hmm. So if a company is interested, they can reach out to you and you can customize some benefits for them as long as their intention is aligned with wanting to support DEI initiatives. You can find a way to give value to that company in exchange for their financial support for the program, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. Aside from the intrinsic value of supporting DEI in the industry, we can also work with that company to tailor it and figure out, okay, how can we do this in a way that's, you know, ethical and can keep the value and so on and so forth. So yeah, I'll leave it at that. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. So yes, if you're a NCIA member or a company that's not yet an NCIA member and you would like to step up and support diversity, equity, and inclusion, specifically our program at the National Cannabis Industry Association, I encourage you to explore more on our website and reach out to Mike Lomuto, and he will be happy to have a conversation with you and hopefully mutually beneficial for all involved as well. And I'm really looking forward to just keeping things rolling at our Cannabis Business Summit and Expo this July, July 20th, 21st, and 22nd in San Francisco. And you can learn more at cannabisbusinesssummit.com. In fact, we are accepting applications for educational speakers. That includes panel sessions and workshops and lightning lessons through February 25th. So if you're listening to this and you catch it before February 25th, be sure to submit your speaker application as well. And we've run out of time, but thank you so much, Mike, for jumping on the podcast with me today and talking about our DEI program and scholarship recipients. And yeah, look forward to seeing you in person again, hopefully in July.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Bethany. We appreciate you and everything you're doing at the organization to help us get all this diversity, equity, inclusion really integrated at the organization. Thank you.
We're doing it together. Thank you. And thanks to our listeners for tuning in to another episode of NCIA's Cannabis Industry Voice. Until next time.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.